Welcome to the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch, episode 17, covering One Breath and Firewalker. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and with me is Brandon Shea Metella. What's up, Brandon?
Oh, I'm doing great here. I've just been talking with this nurse over here who's been helping me out. She's gone.
What a twist. Yes, well, I just got back from hiking in a volcano, so this should be an interesting conversation.
What is that penis sticking out of your neck?
That is inappropriate, Brandon. This is family podcasting. But yes, it is quite foul.
Are you kidding
is
me? Every other episode of this podcast is an explicit warning in my iTunes thing. I can say penis all I want. Penis, penis, penis.
I'm not playing that game with you, Brandon. But yes, so we're talking about One Breath and Firewalker. This is a very pivotal time in the X-Files season 2 because Gillian Anderson had had a child, been off the show for an episode. Her return is now in a One Breath, and then her back to work episode would be Firewalker. So we'll start off talking about One Breath. That first aired on November 11th, 1994, written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong, directed by R.W. Goodwin. So what are your thoughts on One Breath, Brandon?
This episode is epic, and it's almost as good as Shapes.
All right, we need to let that go. All right, that was days ago.
It was days ago. This is a really good episode. You know, when I went to watch it on the rewatch, I'm like, you know what? Is this episode really that good? I don't know if it's that good. And then I watch it, I'm like, man, this episode is awesome. Just the pacing of it and how Scully comes back right at the beginning, and they have that scene where Scully's mom wants to is looking at that tombstone. Like, that's a pretty powerful opening, because again, we've only had her gone for one episode. And I remember watching this live, like back when this first aired in season two, because I started watching it over the summer break after season one and before season two. And so to have the whole she's kidnapped and then she's gone for an episode, and to open this episode with she's dead, basically they're declaring her dead. Like, that was a shocking thing for me to watch in television of that day.
I did like the part with her dad, which was an unexpected part. Now, in my headcanon, my fanon, whatever you want to call it, what he tells Scully here in the afterlife is what he was telling her back in Beyond the Sea when he was sitting in her living room and you couldn't hear what he was saying. He was just mouthing words to her. What do you think about that?
So is that kind of like that Deep Space Nine episode where O'Brien is seeing himself from the future? So Scully saw her dad from the future back on the chair, and
that's not from the future. He was just that. That's the message that he wanted to tell Scully after he died. So he tried to tell it then, and he's telling it now, and he does get to tell it now. And it's a good moment between the two of them. You didn't expect to see Scully's dad again, other than flashbacks and stuff. So, and this is the only time you see Scully's youngest brother, right? And as kids, we never see that guy as an adult. We hear his voice in season 10, and we see him here, but that's the only time we see William.
William. See, I always thought that her dad in Beyond the Sea was telling her to clean up the pine needles. But, you could be right. You could be right. See, one of the reasons why I really enjoyed it on this rewatch as well was because I had just recently read Agents of Chaos and Devil's Advocate, which were by Cammy Garcia and Jonathan Mayberry, and they're the X-Files Origins books. So they're basically when Mulder and Scully are teenagers in high school, right? And Jonathan Mayberry's book, Devil's Advocate, is about Scully, and in this book, she, sees ghosts and stuff, and spirits, and as I was reading the book, I'm like, what is this? I don't remember this at all in the show. I don't remember this aspect of Scully at all, and, the week after I read the book, I watched One Breath again, and I'm like, oh, man, so it gave me a whole new interpretation of this, because every time previously that I'd watched it, I was thinking, it's kind of just all in her head. It's her coming to terms with dying in this coma, and it's just images that your brain has when you're in a coma. I don't know, I've never been in a coma, so I don't know what to expect when I'm in a coma, right? But that's how I always interpret it, it's just a representation of her being in her coma. But now that I've read this book by Jonathan Mayberry, I've actually taken it to be that she had these encounters with these ghosts in her life.
Yeah, like Nurse Owens, for example. I figure she was a guardian angel of some kind, just a spiritual being that was helping her out. And the afterlife there was, I guess, just, I don't know, like, I guess, in Voyager where they go to the Q continuum and that's how humans can process it, mm-hmm. right? I guess that's what I interpreted Scully's on the boat, it's her processing that purgatory, I don't know, in between life and death, because she hadn't quite crossed over yet. So lots of interesting imagery here, definitely. But, to me, the stuff that really sticks out is the Mr. X stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He is hard core in this episode. Like, Mr. X is my favorite character.
Yeah, me too.
In the show, because he's just so hardcore, and he straight up shoots this guy in cold blood in front of Mulder, and he's like, "This is what you got to do if you want the truth, Agent Mulder." He's like, "I used to be you," you know, and just these little hints we get about X's backstory throughout the show. You're like, "Man, this guy's an interesting character," and they never tell you too much about him. He's not like the Shepherd in Firefly, right? You never know too much about him. That's what makes him interesting. So I don't want the Mr. X origin book, okay? I don't want that. I just want that to remain a mystery. But he's so awesome in this episode, and this is the first time we see Mulder's, you know, X symbol, if you will, the tape in the window.
Right, right.
So it's just so much going on here with Mr. X, and then
we didn't see the X in Sleepless?
No, we didn't see the X symbol. No.
Okay.
Not that I recall, unless I missed it, listeners, let me know. But that's the first time I remember seeing it. And then we have Mulder's confrontation with they call him the Cancer Man here, which that didn't really stick, didn't sound as good. I know it's shorter, more concise than the Cigarette Smoking Man, or CSM, as the fans would go on to call him. Which do you prefer, CSM or the Cancer Man?
Well, at this time, it was Cancer Man to me, right? That's how he was, that's how he's referred to in this episode. So for a long while, a friend of mine was calling him the Cigarette Smoking Man, and I'm like, no, he's the Cancer Man. He's the Cancer Man, right? But it's as you were talking there about
Leonard
Mr.
Betts
X,
is
though.
The Cancer Man, isn't he, Brennan?
Yes, he is. with Mr. X, I mean, like, this also shows how different he is from Deep Throat. Deep Throat didn't do anything like this, right? So they're showing you right off the bat how different X is from Deep Throat. And I really like that because,
I used to be you, Mr. Mulder. No, you know, he's not going to straight up shoot someone in cold blood. Yeah, for sure. But that's why
Mark Twain.
Miss Guinan. Star Trek references, folks. But yeah, that's why these characters work so well, because they serve the same role to Mulder, like as his informant, but they have completely different methods. And that's what makes him work so well. And he doesn't feel like, oh, it's a replacement Deep Throat. He's like, it's a completely different character with his own way about things. And that's what makes him so interesting.
Excellent. Right on.
And before we move on to the next episode, I had to laugh when the Lone Govan said, we're all hopping on the internet to nitpick the scientific inaccuracies of Earth 2. Because
I used to watch Earth 2.
I used to get that in Space Above and Beyond confused. Because it was all, there's all these shows in the 90s, like these. I guess what Star Trek wannabes, whatever they were, but I remember Earth 2. Like, there's this guy with like an exoskeleton or something like that, and that just made me laugh thinking about that show.
Curry was in Earth 2.
Of course, the Lone Gunman would watch that, right? But but anyway, One Breath. I mean, you could talk about this forever, and we've done it on the XCast. So if you like One Breath, I recommend you go listen to our XCast episode about it. It's good stuff. It's a great pivotal moment in the series. All right, moving on to our next episode, Firewalker. It aired on November 18th, 1994. It was written by Howard Gordon and directed by David Nutter. There he is again, your buddy from Shapes, Brandon.
Yeah, baby. I like this episode better when it was in the ice.
Yes, exactly. It's a mashup of ice and Darkness Falls. You know, it's like, you know, ice, then there's ice in the forest, and there's ice in the volcano. Now, I really like Darkness Falls. I think that's a good retool of that concept. But here, I think they went to the well one too many times. And frankly, just not that interesting. Like the climax example, right? You were joking about the phallic explosions,
and you just were used the word climax.
But you know, this episode is like, it's like building towards something. You think, oh, is there going to be like a monster in the volcano? I'm thinking like Devil in the Dark. You know, again, with the Star Trek references, right? Silicon based life form. You know, it's going to be, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be cool, right? No, it was just
going to be a Horta.
Yeah, I thought it was a Horta was going to cry. No, it was like the spores from this side of paradise is all it was. I was like, oh, that's lame. And like in the climax of the episode, it's just the girl's chest, the chest burster. We're just mixing all the, crossing all the streams of sci-fi, right? But the chest burster comes out, right? And then
neck
she dies,
booster.
And I guess I was waiting for something else, right? But that was it. And then that guy just wanders back off into the volcano, the main scientist guy, and carries her body. I'm like, this is weird. I don't know, for the first like back to work episode from Mulder and Scully together, this was disappointing, especially coming after such an awesome episode like One Breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many X-Files episodes that this calls back to, like you said, ice. It calls back to This Side of Paradise. I can't believe I never thought of that reference before, but you're right. It calls back to even Little Green Men when they're running around the forest during the storm and stuff, right? You know, kind of, and then they come across that dead Mexican, you know, against the tree, you know. So like, there's so many aspects that it it feels like an X-Files episode, but I don't think it works that well. Like it's fine. It's an okay episode. I don't think it's terrible. It's not Excelsis Day or anything like that, right? But you know, it's not
Shapes.
Terrible. Hey now, shush.
Well, there's a great guest cast in this episode, by the way. Bradley Whitford, who was in Get Out most recently. He's going to be the upcoming Godzilla sequel, so I'm excited about him. He was in this episode. Leland Orser, who you see in all kinds of genre stuff. He was on Enterprise. He's in the Taken movies. He's one of Liam Neeson's espionage friends. And then we have my personal favorite, Hiro Kanagawa, who is Principal Kwan on Smallville. Recurring role there. He shows up in a lot of X-Files episodes. He was in the season 10 premiere as one of the scientists who are experimenting on the spaceship in season 10 premiere. So, I mean, he shows up as different characters on a lot of different episodes. So anyway, interesting guest cast for sure. I don't know, it's one of those episodes where, like, there's a lot of potential, and I just feel like they didn't do much with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weaker entry, and Ice did it better. I mean, like, right. Ice did it better.
The Thing did it better.
The Thing did it better. Yes, absolutely, The Thing did it better.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a solid episode, but again, coming after this, you know, this great episode, like One Breath and all this big mythology stuff, in the last episode, this one just, just a middle-of-the-road X-Files. This felt like a season one episode, basically.
But what'd you think of the idea of what they were trying to do with the silicon life form, like this idea of this new type of life? Did you like that aspect of it?
Yeah, no, that was interesting. I do like it when they try to mix in some actual hard science into the X-Files. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, when we go to the moons of Jupiter or wherever where life may be, that's the kind of life we might find there. So that is interesting. But that's why I was disappointed, because I thought it was going to be like an alien or something, a Horta, like you said, right? Silicon-based life form. But instead, it was just plants. It was just, you know, Omicron SETI 3 up in here. And that's not what I was looking to. So I was intrigued by the concept, but the payoff of what they teased us was not that. I mean, so what knocked over, or what walked by that camera? What was that shadow at the beginning of the episode, right? Because they're like,
it was him,
no.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, but they made a big deal about, like, nothing can survive in that heat down there. And that's why you thought, oh, man,
well,
what's
the guy
down
had
there?
His shirt off, so, you know, he's fine.
All right.
You, well, enough. How hot is Texas? You're down in Texas. It's pretty hot down there.
It was a hunt. My car thermometer said 100 degrees today.
Yeah.
100 degrees. So.
When, what was the, I don't remember, what was the temperature in that volcano? Like
300 degrees. I don't know.
No,
it was
wasn't
a lot.
That high.
Anyway, so that's Firewalker.
You know what was better, though? Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me.
You know, I've never seen that.
Oh, man, it's creepy.
Is David Duchovny in that one?
I don't remember. He was a cross-dresser on Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Bring him back for the revival. But
he
they
is.
Didn't do that, did they? Oh, he is? They brought him back? Wow.
Yeah, they did. You didn't see that picture going around? They had
no,
a picture of Mulder on the set dressed up as the woman, and they said there was a internet picture going around, and it said something along the lines of they're bringing X-Files back for season 11, but they don't have enough budget, so David Duchovny has to play Mulder and Scully.
That's so good. I didn't know he was coming back. Man, Duchovny is really cashing in on these rival series. Good for him, though. Good for him, man. Keep getting those checks.
I've been watching the revival Twin Peaks series. I know we're going off topic, but they've got everybody from the original, like Carol Strooklin or whatever you say is Mr. Hom. Right from Next Generation. He was on it. He was in the first episode. Like, they've got every. It's really good. You should be, you know, watch The X-Files and listen to this podcast, and then go watch Twin Peaks.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us today, Brandon. If people want to talk to you about phallic explosions from their chest, where can they find you on social media to do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Mutala. That's BRANDONMUTALA. You can find me over on the Trek FM network with two wonderful shows called Melodic Treks, which is all about the music of Star Trek, and Warp 5, which I co-host with my friend Floyd, which is all about Star Trek Enterprise. And you can find me on the Fandom Podcast Network. I'm doing a show called Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. And I do that with my friend Tom and my friend Chris. And Zach, where can people find you when you're not hanging on for dear life in your little rowboat?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman show from the 2000s. We're on Twitter at AlwaysSmallville with one S. And like Brandon, I too am a host of a show on Trek FM, Standard Orbit, the original series podcast. We talk about the original series movies, the Kelvin timeline movies, anything to do with Captain Kirk and his adventures on the Enterprise. We talk about it over there at Trek FM. So we are one big happy fleet over there. As for the X-Cast, you can find the X-Cast on Twitter at @X_cast, and look up our Facebook page and group at the X-Cast X-Files Podcast Fan Group on Facebook. So tomorrow, the Podwatch will be back talking about Red Museum and Excelsis Day. But until then, trust no one. Scully!
Scully!